welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
The past number of days, rain has seemed to be constantly falling, and on these dreary days, it's easy to get feeling down emotionally. But when we stop and consider, we're very blessed to not be dealing with the flooding and disasters that are taking place in other parts of our nation. And we truly are concerned for those that have lost possessions, property, and even grieve with those who have suffered the loss of a loved one due to the storms. You know, really, what's been an inconvenience for us in central Pennsylvania has been life-altering and devastating for many of our not-so-distant neighbors. Even as a church, we're collecting supplies to send to those in need, and we're praying for God to give strength and help to those facing such difficult circumstances. I'm reminded this morning that Jesus showed compassion and empathy for those who were suffering and in trouble when He walked here on earth and ministered to those in need. He reached into the physical, tangible needs of those who were hurting and made a difference in their lives. In these days, it's good to remember that we're under God's care, and His heart aches when we're hurting. I trust that you'll be able to stay with us for today's broadcast as we air the second part of Pastor Going's message on how the church is God's flock and how we fit as sheep under the care of our Good Shepherd.
I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me on mountain peak or on the stormy sea. Though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of His care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely He remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep. But oh, the shepherd guards his lowly sheep. And through the gloom, he'll lead me home. For my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me on the mountain peak or even on the stormy sea. Though billows roll, He keeps my soul. For my heavenly Father watches over me.
Yes, my Heavenly Father truly does watch over me this morning. That was Julia Cravens with the song, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me. How about we go to the Lord in prayer this morning and take our requests and needs to Him. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that You are the God who cares for us, that You know what tomorrow holds, and we know that You have provision and strength for that day. I thank You, Lord, that even this morning as we gather in Your house, that we can anticipate Your voice speaking to us and being with us as we need this morning. Think of those that are going through some just devastating circumstances, and I pray that You'd be with those. Give strength and help, we pray. Lord, You see the one who's listening to our program this morning, and You know where they're at spiritually. You know the things that they're going through. I pray that Your Spirit would be with them this morning. May they seek after You and find You to be their helper, their healer, their hope, even today. For this program, Lord, we pray that You would accomplish Your will. Meet with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now this evening at 6 p.m., we look forward to having the Lebanon Valley Gospel Band sharing in our church, and it would be great to see you there. I hope you will then join us in person for the service, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's lebanongmc.com. Now, last week, we aired the first part of Pastor Curtis Going's message on the church as God's flock. And we're going to break back into that message and hear the second part this morning as Pastor Going shares with us from God's Word.
Now, I heard about a pastor who was voted the most humble pastor in America. And his congregation gave him this medal. It was etched with the words, "To the most humble pastor in all of America." And they promptly took it away from him the following Sunday because he had the audacity to wear it to church. But I want to serve you from a heart and a mind that acknowledges my complete dependence on God. I will not be successful to bear eternal fruit as God measures success through any leadership skill or ministry ability that I might or might not have. I'm reminded what God told Zerubbabel when he was tasked with rebuilding the temple. You remember that story in Zechariah. The Lord came and he said, "Tell Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, not by human ingenuity or ability, but," he said, "it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And I'm so aware of that this morning, and I commit to you to do my best to remember that I'm completely dependent on Him. And I commit to remember that I'm in this place to build God's kingdom, not my own reputation. I think it was Count von Zinzendorf, that godly Moravian leader who I think ministered maybe not far from Lebanon back in the 1700s. He made the statement, he said, "Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten." I think that's a pretty good recipe. Adam Clark said, "In a word, the true shepherd gives up his life to the sheep. He spends and is spent for the glory of God. He gives his life for the sheep in defense of them and in laboring for their welfare." And again, I ask you to pray that I would faithfully follow the example of the chief shepherd in exhibiting true humility. And I want to add something right here. I want you to know that I'm not above being questioned. Okay? In fact, if you have some question sometime about something that I say from the pulpit or some decision that I might be involved in making, I would much rather you come to me. Come graciously, please. Come kindly. But I would much rather you come to me, bring your question to me, and let us have a conversation rather than just hold that in your heart and your mind. It's just the nature of things. When people live together, we might face some disagreements along the way. Now, right now, I hope we have a good long honeymoon. But you never know. As we live together, we do life together, we might have a disagreement somewhere along the way. But I strongly, strongly believe that the oil of the Holy Spirit's presence and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts will enable us, even in moments of disagreement, to still love each other and to respect each other, to have confidence in each other, to have one another's best interest at heart, and even to be able to agree or disagree agreeably. And we all have opinions. Sometimes I have one in the morning and it changes by night. But God can help us to work through those things together. And then thirdly, I commit to carry a burden for you and for your family and for this church and for our community. To say it as simply as I know how, I want you and your children and your grandchildren to make it to heaven. And I want you to live in a loving relationship with Jesus. And I want you to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. I want you to be fruitful in your walk with God. And I commit to you this morning to care about your soul. I commit to care about your spiritual health. John Wesley told the Methodist preachers of his day, he said, "It's not your business simply to preach so many times and to take care of this or that society." But he said, "Your business," he said to the preachers, he said, "your business is to save as many souls as you can, to bring as many sinners as you possibly can to repentance, and then with all your power to build them up in that holiness without which they cannot see the Lord." And God has blessed this church with some good shepherds over the years. I've been blessed to know and be acquainted with at least the last two shepherds of this congregation. I had the privilege of getting acquainted with Brother Arnold. In fact, we had him scheduled for revival down in Harker's Island. I'd been there for about 6 years or so, and he said, "Oh," he said, "you're just getting started." And we had privilege to interact at different times, and then we've been acquainted with the Walters, I think, close to 20 years, and I look forward to working with them in the days to come. But this morning, my heart's desire is that this church would continue to be a place where sinners are convicted of their sin and where they experience the transforming grace of God, that it would be a place where people are saved and sanctified holy, a place where we would freshly determine to walk in the light, to be obedient to the Lord, to live in careful obedience to Him. A place where we find strength and encouragement in our walk with God. A place where families and marriages are healed and strengthened. A place where suffering people find healing from the hurts of life. A place where there's hope and joy and love and peace. And then fourthly, I commit to being a pastor to everybody. If you'll let me, whoever you are, whatever age bracket you're in, however long you've been in this church, whether you've been here briefly or a long time, I want to be your pastor. And I want this to be a place where you feel that you belong. And I want you to know from the very first Sunday, Pastor Going wants you here. Did you hear me? Pastor Going wants you here. Incidentally, a few people have asked me, what do you want to be called? Well, I've been called lots of things in my life, but I'll give you just a few options, okay? Do you like options? You could call me Pastor Going, Pastor Curtis, Brother Going, Brother Curtis. You choose. You got options. And I'm trying to learn your names, and I've already gotten at least one wrong this morning, but I remember now. It's Tom. And I'm working on it. And incidentally, if I call you by the wrong name or I mispronounce your name, please don't hesitate to speak up and correct me because I want to get it right, okay? And so please help me with that. And I'm trying to learn. But I want to be everybody's pastor. I believe that a vibrant church is one that has people from all generations who are equally engaged in the life of the church. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see children and teenagers who are excited about serving Jesus, growing in the knowledge of the Lord. So beautiful to see this choir here this morning, and they did such a great job. And it's a beautiful thing to see young couples and middle-aged couples who are plugged in and growing and serving God together. It's a beautiful thing to see the older saints valued, involved in the ministry of the church, serving as examples to the younger people among us. And from our children to our teens to our young adults to our middle-aged folks to our older folks, I commit to be your pastor. And I want to be approachable. And I commit to listen to you. Now, I can't know what you're thinking if you don't tell me, if you don't talk to me. But if you'll talk to me, I'll do my best to listen. Come to me with thoughts, ideas, concerns, and I'll do my best to give you a fair hearing. And then fifthly, as I serve under the chief shepherd, I commit to pray for you. In Acts chapter 6, we read that the apostles of the early church gave themselves to prayer and to the study of the word. And I believe that one of my highest priorities as a pastor is to pray for you. And so I commit to you that I intend to deliberately, intentionally, systematically lift you before the Father and intercede for you in prayer. And I want to challenge us all to be a church that prays and take that responsibility seriously together. It's the engine that moves God's church as we pray and we stay in touch with God and filled with His Spirit. And then sixthly, I commit to do my best as your shepherd to faithfully feed you from God's word. The Apostle Peter admonished the pastors, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Paul spoke to the leaders of the Ephesian church and he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talked to Timothy about the importance of the word of God and how it's to function in the church. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was breathed out by God. And he said, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I commit to you this morning to take seriously my duty before God to teach sound doctrine and to reprove and correct and instruct from the word. That's not a duty that I take with a spirit of superiority, but I pray that I would fulfill that God-given role with humility, with careful graciousness, with studied clarity. I commit to teach and preach God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept, building up God's people in the word of God, preaching the word in its original context with clear application for the people of God. I commit to you to reprove lovingly, graciously, wisely, and yet boldly and clearly reprove ungodly behavior, sinful attitudes, unbiblical thinking. I also commit to you to not use this pulpit as a bully pulpit for my own personal pet peeves. How many of you have some pet peeves? I have some peeves, and they get petted every once in a while, but I'll try to keep them out of the pulpit. I commit to you to correct from God's word. Our world is full of lies, and Satan is a great deceiver. And I commit to addressing the twisted philosophies and the warped theology that threatens the clear teachings of Scripture and where we stand as Wesleyan holiness people, to correct. The word for correction here in 2 Timothy 3 means to straighten up. And a part of a pastor's responsibility is to teach biblical doctrine, to correct wrong beliefs, and to help people walk a straight path before God. I heard about a pastor who left the pastorate after 20 years. He went to become an undertaker. Somebody asked him, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "Well, I spent about 12 years trying to straighten out John. He never would straighten out." He said, "I spent 14 months trying to straighten out the Smith's marriage. It never would straighten out." He said, "I spent 3 years trying to straighten out Susan. She never did get straightened out." He said, "Now as a funeral director, when I straighten them out, they stay straight." And I commit to you this morning to be a preacher of the Word of God, to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then seventhly, and that word you've all been waiting for, finally, I commit to being faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Another rendering of that verse says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." You've given me a trust, and by God's grace, I want to be faithful. I consider it a great privilege and honor to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. For 13 years, it was a privilege and an honor for me to be the pastor and the shepherd of the Grace Holiness Church in Harkers Island, North Carolina. But this morning, much like us, they have a new shepherd standing in their pulpit, and we're praying for Jameson and Sarah Plank and rooting for them. And now, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be called your pastor. But it's also a weighty responsibility, because I know that one day I'll stand before God, before the all-seeing eyes of the great judge, and I'll give a strict account of how I've carried out the mandates of my calling, and the works of my life will be tried as by fire. And anything that's done with a wrong motive, for love of self, love of money, love of recognition, whatever it might be, all of that will be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. And only those things done with a right motive, those things done for the glory of God, for the upbuilding of His kingdom, those are the things that will remain as gold and silver and precious stones. And I would ask you to pray for me, that my spirit would be marked by graciousness and perfect love, that I would stand boldly for truth, that I would have wisdom and understanding and knowledge as God counts such things, that I would have the anointing of the Spirit in my life and ministry, that I would keep my wife and my boys as my highest priority. I'm so thankful for them. Jennifer is, I told her when we were married, I said, "I'm not marrying you to be my assistant pastor," but she's been a wonderful, wonderful partner in ministry, and I'm so thankful for her, and I'm thankful for my boys and for their willingness to go and to serve and to be involved in the Lord's work. And I want them to know how deeply I love them, and I would ask that you would pray that God would help me, even in this time of transition, to be a good husband, a good father, and to pray that I would simply be a faithful senior pastor here at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I preached my first full message when I was 16 years old. And while we were packing a few weeks ago, I was sorting through some old papers, and I came across the manuscript of the first sermon that I ever preached. And my text was Revelation 2:10, words that were addressed to the New Testament church at Smyrna. That church was known as a suffering church. They suffered great persecution. But the words that Jesus spoke to that church were these. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And I want to challenge us together this morning as the people of God, as the flock of God. Let's be faithful. All of us together, let's be faithful to be the church that God wants us to be. Let's be a church full of people who are faithful to clear biblical doctrine, people who are faithful in our devotion to the Lord, faithful in careful, holy, obedient living, faithful in pursuit of holiness, faithful in our service to the Lord. As God's flock, let's be faithful sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let's be faithful to follow the shepherd. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the second part of a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going on the church as God's flock, and some important reminders of our part as members of the church under our good shepherd. Pastor Going also shared some of his commitments and priorities in ministry. I hope that this message has blessed and encouraged you today to faithfully follow our Heavenly Father, trusting in His care. Now, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during our regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week, and I encourage you to keep walking with our good shepherd, Jesus Christ.